I'm James Bernard from the Agricultural Stabilization and Conservation Service. I'm a native of Aroostook County, having lived here all my life with the exception of about 5 years. And I have had many opportunities to study the culture of the county and its history, which has been very interesting to me. And I would like to contribute to the Fort Fairfield Historical Society this little bit of information that I have picked up over the years. As many people know, in all these United States, there is nothing comparable to this great county of Aroostook. The map puts it in New England, yet it is more like Western country, and its residents in temperament are Westerners, even though they vote in the state of Maine.
Okay.
Most Aroostook natives are unaware of this resemblance, unless he is one that has traveled widely, but it is readily apparent to anyone who knows the West. The speech is a reminder of Colorado, or of English as spoken in Canada, and a far cry from that of the Maine coastal village. The quick handshakes and immediate use of the first name are hallmarks of the West. Mars Hill, with its wide Main Street, would look at home in Wyoming. Rolling potato land, rimmed by vast forests, can be found in Idaho, but nowhere in the East except Aroostook County. Like the West, Aroostook is a place where a man has lots of elbow room. About 100,000 persons live here, although it is larger than Rhode Island and Connecticut combined. Like much of the West, its farm economy for many years has been based on one crop, potatoes. Finally, and most important of all, there is a tremendous vitality in Aroostook, which only the West can equal. This is an attribute of youth, and Aroostook, even by Western standards, is a young country. Indeed, as time is measured in New England, it is not far removed from frontier country. The late Stuart Holbrook, an eminent and perceptive historian whose native state was Vermont, but whose home in later life was in the Pacific Northwest, made note of this in his Story of American Railroads. In a chapter devoted to the Bangor and Aroostook Railroad, he said, "Aroostook is a county of Maine. It is also more than a county. It is a region, an empire, a state of mind, for the county, as it is known in Maine, was the last frontier in eastern United States, and the material spiritual effects are still to be seen and felt." As Holbrook subsequently explained, there are two reasons why Aroostook alone in all New England remained frontier country up to little more than 50 years ago. For one thing, it was the most remote section of New England. For the other, its sovereignty was in doubt until 1842, when the Webster-Ashburton Treaty was signed by the United States and Great Britain. The people of Aroostook are largely of Northern European extraction. Their ancestry runs back to France, England, Scotland, Ireland, and Sweden. It is significant that all have a notable history as colonizers of North America. Ethically speaking, those who settled Aroostook were well qualified for the task. First were the French, who settled in the St. John Valley in the 18th century. Then in 1807 came a group of Americans of English descent to locate on a grant of land purchased from New Salem Academy in Massachusetts. It was situated in the southern end of the county, and within its boundaries now stands the town of Houghton, 40 miles south of Presque Isle. The Swedes as a group came some 60 years later, and the Scotsmen and Irishmen, individualists that they are, came by ones and twos. The wealth of Aroostook in its early frontier days was its vast stand of spruce and pine. These early settlers were loggers who floated the tall trees down the St. John River and thence to the sea. Consequently, the first men of economic stature in Aroostook were lumber barons. Some were Americans and some were Canadians. This would have been of no consequence except for the fact that no one could say and prove that Aroostook was a part of Maine and not a part of Quebec or New Brunswick. If the Canadian logger was a trespasser to the American logger was no less so to the Canadian. As tempers grew, trespassers became thieves, and as Holbrook puts it, the business went from local feud proportions into the realm of international incidents. Convinced by irate American loggers that an invasion was imminent, the governor of Maine called out the militia. A military road was built from Vanguard to Houghton to provision the 7 companies of infantry sent there to safeguard a border which at best was nebulous. Long blockhouses were built at strategic sites and became Fort Kent and Fort Fairfield. There was a vast amount of sound and fury, but few shots fired in anger. Thus, when the Webster-Ashburton Treaty restored peace in Aroostook, the only recorded casualties were those suffered by lumberjacks. Since mayhem was a lumberjack's normal way of life, the lumps on his head were ignored by historians. The Aroostook War, they said, was a bloodless war. Despite its comic overtones, this bloodless war was the ingredient needed in the development of Aroostook. It gave it an established boundary and a direct route to Bangor, and as an extra dividend, an influx of settlers who had first seen the county as soldiers in the Maine militia. For the first time, Aroostook, long a land of isolated logging camps and little else in the way of community living, could now look forward to a day when the plow would rank with the axe as a producer of dollars and towns would grow no less rapidly than the farmland. For those who elected to till land, Aroostook was a revelation. Some unrecorded glacier, as it receded, had left in its wake the rich soil that the county knows as Caribou Loam. Of all the factors which have shaped the development of Aroostook, none has played so great a part as the loam which covers the rolling hills in the eastern half of the county. Its impact on the economy of the county is beyond measure. Its impact on the temperament of the people who work it is little less so. Less than 50 years ago, barn raising and quilting parties were commonplace in Aroostook. They were a direct heritage from the days of pioneer living and the dependence of isolated people on their neighbors. Thanks to all-weather roads and the increasing population, they have disappeared, but not the spirit that once led men to help a neighbor with his barn. This one-time dependence on a neighbor accounts in large part for areas in which there is a substantial preponderance of people with a common racial ancestry. The St. John Valley is still predominantly French. The towns immediately northwest of Caribou are still predominantly Swedish, and many of English extraction still live in Houghton. The earliest settlers of the St. John Valley were Acadians, the French of Longfellow's Evangeline, who were expelled from the minor basin of Nova Scotia by the British in 1755. They came in 1785 with British permission to settle as free men above Grand Falls. After almost 30 years as political prisoners in the settlement, they had established near what is now Fredericton. They and others of French descent who joined them were primarily farmers, although many found work in the woods. The employing loggers were Americans and Canadians. So were those who owned the sawmills and most of the village stores. The valley is still farmed by the French, but now they are also conducting most of the business. The Swedes came to Maine in 1870 at the invitation of a state alarmed by the marching out of so many of its farmers in response to the lure of the West. The land they settled lies in the elbow of the Little Madawaska Stream. Their choice was high land rather than the richer land lying below, and it was dictated by their fear of valley frost and the damage it might do to the buckwheat they planted. Like the French who preceded them, the towns they built reflect their ancestry in both name and appearance. There is New Sweden, Jutland, and Stockholm, scrupulously neat and dotted with tall poplar trees. Again, like the French, the Swedes are fine citizens and fine farmers. Aroostook has never regretted their courageous acceptance of a life in the New World. The English, as noted earlier, first came to Maine in a group from Massachusetts in 1807. The great many more who followed them came north from other parts of Maine and west from the province of New Brunswick. Like those who came before them, a larger percentage settled in the southern part of the county, which abounds with names that could only have come from England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. There are many others of British ancestry scattered throughout Aroostook, but they are more prominent in the Houghton area. There has been, of course, much intermingling. The French moving south from their homes in the St. John Valley have blended well into other communities, and the English-speaking people moving into the French towns have been no less absorbed. Yet the fact remains that towns like Fort Kent and Van Buren, or Stockholm and New Sweden, or Houghton, couldn't be more different if they were in three widely separated parts of the country. As a result of this, Aroostook is a land of three distinct cultures, plus a composite of all three. The net result for a traveler through the county is a sort of Cook's tour to Great Britain, Sweden, and France, with intermediate stop in the United States. To conclude from this that there is inherent disunity in the county would be a mistake. There may be sharp political differences, and a man who wants a dam at Rankin Rapids may be a sore thumb to a man who loves the Allagash. But when the county as a whole is the focal point of some controversial issue, it becomes one family. In short, there is a great pride of ancestry in Aroostook, but there is even greater pride in the county itself. The facility to rise as one man against a common enemy is equaled by a facility to unite in support of a proposal that promises to benefit the county. There is no better evidence of this than the concerted drive to build a railroad into Aroostook. Aroostook is not made up of large farmers. We pride ourselves as being one of the few areas in the country where family-type farming prevails. Traditionally, 97% of all farming is a family enterprise. This is another reason why aroostook farmers are so efficient. Aroostook has ample storage to store its potato crop, and most farmers own a substantial part of their needed storage. Allied industries are well represented. To name a few, there are 5 potato processing plants, 8 fertilizer plants, a bag factory, and miscellaneous farm machinery dealers. Living in aroostook is a special way of life. We are inspired by its size, its beauty, its promise, its timelessness, and the bigness of its people. Big in energy, enthusiasm, faith, and friendliness. The county, as we call it, and its people will continue to grow. It cannot be any other way. So Holbrook was right when he said, aroostook is more than a county. It is a region, an empire, and so it is.